It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And we are in that transition period. It has been really difficult for me to put my finger on color because we went through some significant changes over the last week, and I'm going to talk about those in just a minute. But first, a word from our sponsor. No, actually, a word from a few of our listeners, and one who is a regular contributor and listener is Dallas Hudson. Dallas lives in Akeley, and he sent along this note. He says, I think we now have less color now that the basswoods and black ash have dropped their leaves. Still no frost, but that could change on Thursday. Still seeing a few monarchs and green darners, but butterfly season has really wound down. Seeing a few overwintering, though, eastern and gray commas, morning cloaks, and Compton's tortoiseshells. No juncos yet, but should be here soon. What few robins I have seen have been singles and pairs, no big flocks yet. Still a few cicadas buzzing, and a new batch of half-grown cottontails just showed up in the yard. And Dallas also included this. He said, Buckeye, he had a picture on KAXEKBXE Season Watch. This buckeye near Akeley is species number 61 for the year, which is my lowest since I started keeping track in 2009. That year I had 60. I averaged 66 and a half species a year. It's the coppers and hair streaks that have been missing for several years now. The buckeye is a migrant from the south and one that I don't see every year. And we also heard from Debs Let's see. John, on Wednesday evening, September 18th, we had a single female hummingbird at our feeder at Lake Vermilion. We are close to the public access and campground on Wake 'em Up Bay, which is on the Cook end. And last week, we had two robins in the yard, Deb Sackerson. And from Al over in Hibbing, yesterday, just saw a hummingbird checking out the flowers. It was humming with a Canadian accent. So if you have a hummingbird in your yard, as I said earlier in response to a question from our good friend Augie, he was curious as to when I had, what was the latest record I had for hummingbirds. And my own personal latest was on 2002 when I saw one on the 25th of September. But I have three observations, one in 2008, one in 10, and one in 17. And 2008, it was October 18th. And then the 3rd of October in 2010 and the 8th of October in 2017. So there are always a few that are kind of sneaking through at the end of the season. I generally take down my hummingbird feeder about the 1st of October. So in another week or so, I'll probably be pulling my hummingbird feeder down. But as Laura Erickson has advised us, this time of year, You don't need a lot of nectar in there. You don't have to make a great deal of it. But if you're making nectar for hummingbirds, make it 3-to-1 instead of 4-to-1, because this time of year they need every little extra ounce of energy they can get. And especially those that are, let's just say, I don't want to call them tardy. Let's just say that they have been remiss in getting themselves headed south at a proper time of year, and they have perhaps waited a tiny bit too long. So we will see, as with the monarch butterflies that are still in the area. As a matter of fact, I saw two monarch butterflies yesterday. So there are still monarch butterflies that are hanging out in the area. I saw, besides the monarch, I saw a comma butterfly this past week, and an eastern-tailed blue butterfly, and the sulfurs that Augie was talking about over in Shevlin are also still hanging around. And as Dallas mentioned in his note, there are about five butterflies that overwinter as adults, and we will probably see one or several of them over the next couple of weeks, especially on warmer days, as they flit about and try to search out that spot where they will spend the winter. So those five are The mourning cloak, which is as big as a monarch, a large black or very, very dark brown butterfly with a cream-colored wing border. There's the Milbert's tortoise shell and the Compton's tortoise shell. The Milbert's is the one that reminds me of the Red Admiral. It has a broad orange band across its wings, otherwise quite dark. The Compton's is much more variegated and sometimes is mistaken for a monarch butterfly, but it has a mixture of orange and black on its wings and white dots, four white dots at the end of its four wings. That would be the Compton's. And then you have the commas. You have the gray and the eastern commas that are also overwintering. And the commas are a little bit smaller, and their wings are kind of dark orangish brown on the top. And so if you're all looking at butterflies right now, the smaller orangey looking ones are probably commas, or they might be the Compton's tortoiseshell, but there's a possibility of a few monarchs yet to move south, so be watching for them as well. That's the butterfly section. As far as the trees go, I wanted to talk about trees because it's been a perplexing fall. I had some really remarkably colorful maples in my yard last week, and I was thinking, boy, this weekend could be approaching the peak of color. And then Saturday we had rain and winds, and it just got to thrashing about. And not only did a lot of leaves come down, in fact, one of the big maples in my front yard, which was absolutely lemonade yellow, was completely bare on Monday morning. And that's been the case. There are some trees that are completely bare, but in walking around my yard and just assessing color in general as I've been moving around, it is still pretty green out there. There are lots of maples right in my yard that have not even begun to turn yet. I have several maples in my yard that are still just as green as a Granny Smith apple. And it'll be a while before they actually get up in color. So I don't know what to say about peak of color. I'm hoping that we'll get a respite here and that color will get quite spectacular over the next few weeks. I'm starting to see a little bit of color on some of the aspens. Not a lot, but some. And the big tooth aspen in my yard are starting to fleck. They're not yet 25% colored, but they're definitely getting there. And you can see that there's a shift coming. I saw my first white oak that I would call first solid color. Now, the white oak in my yard is like 50% colored, and the red oak in my yard is probably 50 to 75% colored. But the red oak, the leaves kind of go yellow, and then they go to that bronzy reddish brown, and it takes it's a kind of a long process. And when I look at the red oak in my yard, the top of the tree is still green. So I don't know. I can't say that we are at our peak of color yet. It just doesn't look like it. And yesterday I was sitting on Heidi's next door neighbor's dock and just watching, looking across the lake at the island and at the far shore. And there are some colorful trees out there here and there, but the overall effect right now is still green. And that is going to kind of push us toward the late end of the season. Dallas mentioned, and I have mentioned earlier, the black ash and the basswoods are pretty much bare. I have a maple or two that are bare. The pine needles, the jack pine, the white pine, and the Norway pine, the red pine, all have a lot of needles that are still colored, but a lot of needles fell in the weather of the past week. So there are a lot of needles on the ground. And if you missed the kids segment, you may want to go KAXE.org later today and listen. But one of the groups talks about making a fort by raking the pine needles into little rows and making walls. And I was reminded of doing the same thing as a child. So it's that time of year. Last ruby-throated hummingbirds? Well, we had one sighted yesterday. I expect somebody out there will see one today, and who knows, it could carry on into October. As I said, there are those that are just not up to speed yet. Some painted turtles around. I've been seeing a lot of big green darner dragonflies. Pardon me. And in fact, I was watching two of them, and I was thinking, you know, oh, they're sort of patrolling territory. And these dragonflies can be territorial. If you watch them, you'll see that a lot of them fly the same pattern in the same area, and they butt up against somebody else's territory, and that dragonfly is doing the same thing, just a little bit removed from the first. Well, I'm watching these two dragonflies, and I'm thinking, oh, they're going to come to blows at the edge of their territory. Well, that wasn't it at all. One was a male and one was a female, and they quickly assumed the wheel position, which is sort of preparatory to the passing of genetic material, and these guys were in the process of mating, and I have not seen that this late in the year. And I sent a note off to a couple of experts on dragonflies, and I hope to get some response for next week's program so I can tell you a little bit more about that whole observation. It was pretty shocking. I saw four ruffed grouse on Sunday, two in one spot and two singles after that. All three were along the roads, and all four were seen early in the morning, right around 7 a.m. So if you're a grouse hunter, you want to get up early, I guess. The bracken fern, the common fern of northern Minnesota, is dark brown right now. It's gone past the yellow stage, and it is dark brown. There are other ferns out there that are still in pretty good shape and not yet changing color, so those are worth checking out. Mountain ash, I have a wild mountain ash near my home that grows in the forest, and the leaves are starting to come off of that. I noticed, too, that boneset, a flowering plant with opposite leaves, is sort of at, well, I put it as last flowers, and their flowers aren't really spectacular, and they're kind of hard to tell whether they're actually in flower or in seed. So I think the boneset is definitely at last flower, and the flat-topped asters, which have been very, very prolific over the summer, over the last part of the summer here, August and September, are finally at the end of their blooms, and I'm seeing seeds on the flat-topped asters. Most of the goldenrods have gone to seed. There are a few here and there that are still in flower, but they are rapidly declining. There are still plenty of blue asters. Some are heart-leaved, some are large-leaved, some are purple-stemmed, and smooth blue. So there are a lot of asters still in flower and should remain so until we probably come up against a frost in the next little while. I saw a turkey vulture yesterday, and so there are still a few of those working their way south out of the area. And if you're a duck hunter, you're probably noticing that the Phragmites, the common reed, has begun to change color and is becoming quite sort of khaki in my view, and changing its color so that you can pick it out pretty easily. It was always a good location for a duck blind if you could find some common reed along the edge of the shore. Made a good place to be. That's the Phenology Show for this week. If you have observations you'd like to share, we are always open to listening to what you have to say. So get in touch with us. We'd love to hear from you.
You can catch Phenology later today at our website, kexe.org, or sign up for the Phenology podcast. You get student reports as well as John's weekly report. So make sure you do that. Very easy to do. Links at our website, kexe.org. It's 7:37. Coming up, we'll have Best Wishes and then Harry Hutchins in for a talk on the wild side.
We're looking forward to that. And just a reminder, if you're a teacher and are interested in having your students get involved in phenology, please send me an email and I will do my very best to get it set up for you in your classroom. You can get in touch with me at jlatimer, that's J-L-A-T-I-M-E-R, at kaxe.org. And if you're not a teacher, but your son or daughter is a student in school, you might explore the possibility with the teacher. It's certainly a worthwhile endeavor for children to get out and notice nature.
And when you can, you get to those schools, right? They get a visit from you.
Yep.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I'll be going to Bemidji this Friday, and I have plans to go to North Home and Kellyer and Cross Lake and Pequot Lakes.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I'll be getting around.
Yeah. So let us know if you want to sign up, if you know of a teacher you think this would be great in their classroom. Just connect with us, 800-662-5799.